You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're looking ahead to Thursday's action on this edition, and what a Thursday it is as well. It's day one of the July Festival at Newmarket. We've got plenty of racing to look forward to there, including the July Stakes and the Princess of Wales' Tattersall Stakes. Plenty to look forward to at HQ. There's Doncaster and Carlisle alongside that in the afternoon, Newbury, Epsom and Leopardstown in the evening. So a proper good evening as well. My name is Mark Walton. Joining me in the studio is Leona Mayer. How are you, Leona?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Very well, I think.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm very well, very well.
Good.
The sun is shining, the weather's all right now. We've got the July Festival coming up. What more could you want at this
time?
Well,
exactly. We're going to get some kind of summer at some point, hopefully, aren't we? Perhaps it's starting now.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. The racing over the next few days is quite simply spectacular. We're going to have a little bit of a look ahead to some of the action coming up at Newmarket, but just want to have a chat to you about a few things beforehand with regards to the news and stuff, because obviously being a former jockey, you'll have been involved with these things firsthand. So trainers Charlie Fellows, Sir Mark Prescott and Donald McCain, I've spoken out that any jockey overusing the whip in winning a big prize should be then disqualified, that the horse should be disqualified. And it's a debate that's kind of happened in racing for a long time, isn't it? Because if you cheat to win and the punishment is with the jockey and the trainers and connections and the horse don't actually lose the prize, then the rule can't be strong enough, can it?
Yeah, well, and as they, obviously I just read, and as you say, no matter, you know, however long you ban them for or fine them for, if the accolade of that win is better than that, which it is majority of the time, you know, I'm sure if they're riding a Class 6 at Wolverhampton, they'd rather not get banned and lose, you know, to win that. But for big races, and obviously, like you say, obviously the Hayley Turner is the prime one, that she's made history. So would she really care if she got banned? So, yeah, the only way that you would stop people from doing that genuinely is taking it away from them or placing them, you know, if it was tied between first and second, you place them second, so you still get your second prize money or whatever. But, yeah, that could be the only way around it, couldn't it? So
yeah. I mean, if you're in Hayley Turner's situation there, you're thinking, you know, you can either have a place in history as a lady jockey winning at Royal Ascot and a 9-day ban.
And how many people are going to say after they said she's made history, yeah, but she went over with her whip?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They're not, are they? So, yeah, it's a difficult one. But, yeah, I think that is the only way you're ever going to change it, is by completely changing the rules around. But at the same time, I'm not necessarily trying to say her or anyone else, they do it on purpose.
No.
Because it's like anything, you're just going for it, you know, and you're probably not thinking in that last half a furlong, how many times have I hit it? You're just going, you know, and you just want to win. And it just happens, I think, you know, a lot of the time, even when jockeys only go over once or twice, they probably think they haven't. If you ask them, you know, and they say, how many times did you get, you know, how many do you think it was? They'd probably think it wasn't over.
Yeah, and you've obviously got the flip side of that as well. If you know you've reached your limit, you're not then just going to stop in a driving finish, are you?
Yeah, so, well, like you say, you can put your whip down, though. You can still keep riding, but like you say, it just doesn't, it's not what happens, is it?
Mm. The rule needs looking at, I think.
Yeah.
Because if by some miracle I'm on a horse in front in the Derby, which is a miracle, would be a miracle, and it's a case of you're going to get a ban if you win this,
you can just
go for it, and you're going to be a Derby winning jockey, then there's only one winner, isn't
it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I know what I do.
We'll move on to Newmarket now, the July Festival. Yeah. Of course, you've ridden in the past. We're talking to Andrew yesterday on the podcast, and he was saying prominent runners do well there, and it's good to be out in the front of things. You know, if you were making selections, or if you were having rides at Newmarket this week, would you be looking to be prominent?
And not that I would dare argue with Andrew Mount, because he's a very smart man. I think that's how long is a piece of string? It depends how quick you go in front. You know, if whoever's in front goes too quick, well, it wouldn't matter if you sat first, third, or last, because if they're grouped up well together. So I think that's it. I know some tracks definitely do favour front runners more than others, but also a lot of it is how quick you go. So if you go too quick or too slow, it makes them, you know, if they go very slow and they're, you know, so let's say the second favourite, the first, second, third, fourth, or the favourite sat last and they slowly run race, chances are you're probably not going to get there because they're going to kick from the front. So I think that's a difficult question to answer clearly.
Yeah.
The honest answer is, I think it depends on how the race runs, doesn't it? And plenty of horses are front runners and plenty aren't. So,
yeah,
you know, if you're on a horse that's not a front runner and you end up in front, maybe that's not a good thing.
It's a fair point.
Even on a track where the winner, you know, the winner's come from the front, if your horse is not a front runner, then I wouldn't want to be at the front.
Obviously, at the Royal Mile, there's a lot of talk about the dip in the supply. Is there any idiosyncrasies to the
July course? I think it's a little bit... No, I think the July course is probably a bit easier. I don't think it's quite as difficult in the closing stages. But again, you know, the kind of races, majority of the time that we're looking at the horse, well, going forward now through the rest of the year, we're looking at horses that have either already ran there or they've ran on similar tracks, they've already faced undulations and that kind of thing. So then it's not as important. And again, older horses... if you've got a horse that you know doesn't go on the track, you wouldn't be running them there by that stage, would you? So I think, again, the only time that comes into play is young horses, where they either haven't ran before or they've ran on flat tracks or straight, you know, 5 furlong or whatever, and then you're taking them to a completely different race course, then it matters.
Let's look at the big race of the week. The feature of the week is the July Cup, a Group 1 sprint won by some top-class sprinters down the years, of course. Yeah. 6 furlongs in front of them. Advertised the favourite for this year's renewal at 11-4. Big news there is that Frankie Dettori is back on board as well, and he seems to be riding well in all the big races at the moment. 7-2 for Dream of Dreams. Kate Byron is 5-1, 8-1 for Brando. 10 Sovereigns is 8-1 as well. 12s for Fairyland and Limata. 16s are bigger for the remainder. What do you like in the race? Are you a fan of Advertise or are you taking
I am, yeah. I think it's a really difficult race, actually, looking at it. Obviously, Advertise, we know the least about, don't we? He's very unexposed, but he was impressive at Ascot. He's only had 7 starts as a 3-year-old, so I've no doubt in my mind that there could be more to come. Kate Byron, similar profile. Again, we haven't seen as much of him, have we? He has improved this season, Kate Byron, the couple of times that we've seen him, but obviously this is a massive, massive step forward against seasoned older horses like then Brando, Lamarto, horses that we know really like Newmarket as well. So they've obviously both been placed in one group races, haven't they, around Newmarket, so that's going to count for a lot. So I actually aren't going to go with Advertise because I thought, especially from a betting point of view, I absolutely love Lamarto. I always have. He's a horse that I think so much of. He's obviously won this race before, hasn't he? It was 3 or 4 years ago. I think he needed his first run this season when we saw him at York, because Henry Candy is not someone that bottoms his horses, I don't think, really at home. So I think he needed that first run, and then obviously last time here he won that Group 3. That was over 7. I think he was still a bit gassy from us not seeing him obviously for a while, because that was only his second run of the season, wasn't it? He still managed to win, but I just think the fact that he's now had another run, this is back over 6, we know he likes it here, obviously he's won in this race before, I think he's the bet in the race, Lamarto. I think he's overpriced in the field that he's in. I think he's overpriced, Lamarto, so that's going to be my pick in the July call.
He's got a tremendous record in the race, a winner of it and a runner-up in the past.
Well, just at Newmarket, he likes it there, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
Then things fall right.
Signing with good old Limato then, who's a horse that's gone to many a racegoer's heart. He's 12-1 in the markets to try and land another July Cup. That's the feature race later on in the week. The meeting gets underway on Thursday, and we've got some good racing to look forward to there. Leona's prepared a couple of races for us, starting in the 225,
well,
which
I'll
is
try
the,
to.
The July Stakes, a Group 2 for Colts and Geldings. This is the 2-year-olds in action here, and Vizinari, the market leader at even money. Guildsman 100-30, 13-2 Platinum Star. Royal Lytham is 8-1, 9-1 for Classy Moon. 14's King Neptune, and 25's or bigger for the other two. Vizinari, quite hard to get a handle on, really, given that he's only had the 1 start, but it was a win at Newmarket, which is a positive.
And as we said, for 2-year-olds, the one thing we've got is, do they go on the track? Well, this horse does. It was his first run. You'd have expected him to be green. I know we constantly say, you know, Mark Johnson's horses, they're very forward, they're very, but of course they are, most of them are, but plenty aren't. The amount of time, you know, you see a Mark Johnson run, it looks green, and you probably just don't even think it's one of his when it's out the back of the TV. But this horse, he was the prime example of a very forward going one of theirs. He was really impressive, wasn't he? That was here. It was about 4 weeks ago now. He made all on that occasion, you know, wasn't by any stretch of the imagination, you know, he didn't look like a green horse at all. 1 by 3, I think they pulled another 10 lengths clear of the third, so it was ridiculous, really. He did a really good job, Vince and Ari. So I definitely think he's got a massive chance. I'm surprised he is quite as short as he is, though, because as you say, we don't have a lot to go on, do we? There's, you know, it's not, he's had a couple of starts and he's improved first run to second. We haven't seen the second start yet, so that makes it a little bit trickier, I think.
Do you take him on then at that kind of price?
I don't, you know, I really don't know. It's so difficult. Like, obviously, we've got, obviously, Gilsman. He won at Goodwood. He won by 6 lengths at Goodwood. I thought that was fairly impressive. And again, Goodwood is not a dissimilar track. He then ran in the Coventry, didn't he, at Ascot, where he finished third. I thought that was quite a good run. I think the one thing that maybe for tomorrow that slightly puts me off Gilsman in the July Stakes, I think he is bred for a little bit further than Vincenari is in. I know it'll be in time for both of them, but I just think he might be the one that's staying on at the Deaf Guildsman, but I don't know whether it'll be enough, especially when we know that Vincenari can jump out and make it. So it's difficult. And then we've got Aidan O'Brien's too. They both ran well at Ascot and both improved what we'd seen from first run to second, so they wouldn't be out of it. It's just a difficult race because it's, you know, there's not many runners. So I think I probably would be boring and go with Vincenari, but you know, I do like plenty of the others, and it's one of those races where I would never go mad in a race like that from a betting point of view, no matter what, because I think you're going to know a lot more about them after tomorrow.
Interestingly as well, with the Aidan O'Brien runs that you mentioned there, Ryan Moore's actually on the bigger price one.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean, because they both, you know, they both won on debut, completely different races, but still. And obviously King Neptune's had a couple more starts, which again, that can count for so much, can't it? We see plenty of runners that we don't think are in with a massive chance, but they've had another couple of starts, which means they're less green. And if things go wrong in the race, if the horse has had more experience, they've got more chance of being able to deal with it or being able to recover, you know, and put themselves back into the race. Whereas if you've had one start and something goes wrong, or, you know, for all we know, Vincenari could just get a bit worked up this time because he knows what's coming and blow his chances away before he's ran. We don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that counts for a lot. So again, from a betting point of view, I think you'd be sat watching the TV, seeing how he deals with the preliminaries again, see if he's sensible and, you know, does everything like he did last time, which was very nicely.
Okay, so treading a little bit carefully.
Yeah, there, but I think Vincenari would be the way to go, but yeah. I wouldn't go mad, A, at even money, and B, on a horse we've only seen once.
Fair enough. Let's move on to the next race that we're going to preview, the 3:35. This is the Princess of Wales' Tattersall Stakes, the feature race on day one, group two over a mile and a half, and we see Epsom Derby winner Massar back in action. He won the Derby back in 2018, and has obviously had one or two reasons why he's been off the track. 5-4 at the top of the market. Mirage Dancer is 2-1, 6-1 for Baghdad, 12-1 for Dashing Willoughby, 14s for Communique, and Desert Encounter also 14-1. That's the field that take part. And what do you make of Massar? Because that reappearance behind Defoe when sent off 3-1 towards the top of the market in the Hardwick was, for me, a little bit disappointing from a previous Derby winner.
Yeah, I think, I don't want to say I don't think it was the best renewal of the Derby, but I don't. it's in plenty of horses in behind. You know, they were bigger priced horses. I think Saxon Warrior was a bit disappointing on the day. I know he had a few excuses, etc. But yeah, I expected a little bit more, I think, as we probably all did. But he's also had his issues. And that, you know, that counts for a lot, because if he has got issues, you know, how long is he going to last? Is something going to go wrong again? You know, and he's 5-4 in a race like that, where he's got some, you know, some nice opposition. I do think that Massar is too short, and based on what we saw last time, I wouldn't be happy enough going with a horse at 5-4 in a good renewal, I think, of this race.
Yeah, and the fact that he takes on Mirage Dancer, who finished ahead of him, but Mirage Dancer's double the price.
Yeah, I like Mirage Dancer as a horse. I don't think he did anything too wrong at Ascot last time when we saw him. Obviously, that was behind, as you say, Defoe, who we know plenty about. I am going to take something else though. Baghdad's the one I'm going to go for.
Okay.
I just think, do you know what, we haven't seen that much of him. He's only four still. He's 10, you know, he's seen the track 10 times. I think he's improved massively. Obviously, again, this is another massive step up, obviously, but when he won that Duke of Edinburgh, I thought that was a fairly difficult contest. You know, there's plenty of horses in behind him that we've seen some good form from. Obviously finished in front of Ben Vracchi and Fajera Prince. It was a very tight contest, but I think he was far enough back, I thought, on that occasion at Ascot, and he did well to come through. So again, at the prices, I think I'd rather just take a chance on Baghdad, because, you know, he's three times the price of Mirage Dancer, and Mirage Dancer's double the price of Massar. So I think Massar's too short, and I think Mirage Dancer and Baghdad could both take a step forward, but based on the prices, I'm going to side with Baghdad. Little flyer.
I'm interested to see how he gets on, actually, because last four runs on turf, he's won them all. They've all been in big field handicaps. He's certainly worth a step up to group.
Yeah, and this is completely different. Exactly. Yeah. There's a lot less runners to take on, a lot less trouble. Yeah, I just don't see why he wouldn't have a chance. And I'm just trying to look back. Obviously, I know he was quite far back last time. I think he sat midfield on most of his runs, hasn't he? He can be quite gassy, can't he, Baghdad? So I think the one thing to note is how he deals with things. But he has gone prominent in the past as well, which makes me think they might even try and make the running on him because it's a small field, you know, and kick away. So that could be interesting to watch and see how long he stays in front for. So yeah, Baghdad, I think, for the Prince of Wales isn't an unreasonable solution.
Baghdad, then, the selection there. Thank you very much, Leona. Been an absolute pleasure. Good luck with your selections. Enjoy it on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm going to look forward to watching Lamarto run, and fingers crossed I'll be right.
You can find out on Saturday whether Limato comes out in front. That's on the programme on William Hill Racing Radio on Saturday. We've got all of day one on Thursday as well. A 1:30 start time on Racing Radio. Alex Dunn, John O'Connell and Chris Pimlott, the team in the studio. Day one of the July Festival alongside Doncaster and Carlisle in the afternoon. Newbury, Epsom and Leopardstown throughout the evening as well. So a real good day racing. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.